in the 60s mm-hmm. by the name of Joan Dennis. It was a duet, she and her virtual name, Andy and Joy. You're Wondering Now.
Mm-hmm.
You heard that song?
Yeah.
You're Wondering Now. Yeah.
That was your sister?
Yeah, so I'm from a musical family.
Interesting, as you talk about Trench Town, you have an album that you released in 2015. Mm-hmm. That's actually Trench Town, 19...
Third Street.
Third Street.
Yeah.
That's your first solo album?
Yeah, that's my first solo album since... Yeah, first solo album.
Tell me about that album and why the name Trench Town, 19 Third Street.
Well, it's just foundation, you know what I mean? Where you're coming from, that's where I really start getting involved with the music mm-hmm. and thing, you know what I mean? And that's the home where the Wailers first come together, right? 19 churches, that's where the Wailers first started, right? That's where Nesta Bob, the great Bob Marley, and the great Peter and Bunny, Junior Bradford, and Bev and Cherry, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's where the foundation is, 19 churches. So to keep the vibes going, you know what I mean? Keep the foundation going to one seat. That's why it's named Trench Town, 19 Third Street, because Trench Town.
How come Trench Town plays such a significant role in Jamaican music?
To be honest enough, the answer is straight is like, but that place is a place where it's like a lot of original people with certain vibration will come from all over the country. Right, away from the one who was born here. That's where they can come and have a little, you know what I mean? A little freedom amongst themselves because, you know what I mean? Police station is outside of the area. So you're not harassed by the police inside so easy. If them come in, you can't see them, you know what I mean? Somebody can tell you. So Trench Town is a place where people can unite and talk and, one time as a black man in a Jamaica, all three, four black men couldn't stand up and talk on the corner. So it's like, you know what I mean? It was something against society. Trench Town was a place where you can see a corner full of people or a yard full of people and communicate. Plus you have places there where you can recreate yourself. You have room for recreate yourself, so. You know what I mean? That's why it's so special. And there were some beautiful people, man. Trench Town, great place, one of the greatest cities in the whole wide world, man. Trench Town.
Tell me a little bit about Black Uhuru being formed.
Well, as I said, coming from Trench Town, right, and doing the rehearsal with Joe Eggs and the Wailers, them, and Professor Bertrand, them, it's like somehow I hardly start go down there like a regular like how I used to, and I start staying Waterhouse. Right, and a brother named Wally, sister part of one of the child for Bob Marley. Wally lend me a guitar, so I had a guitar in Waterhouse, where, you know what I mean, and start showing some cards. So I start helping myself. By them time, it's like I start go back to Trench Town every now and then. By them time now, Doc used to stay with me at my house, right, so he was always around me. So I'm sure I come for me more time.
And this is Ducky Simpson?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to the rehearsal in Trench Town and things. So wherever we find room to jam in water, we used to jam. And some people hear me jamming and decide to record me, right? And them come along, right? When I say them come along, by then I met Dan Carlos, right? And then Carlos get involved. And
where you met Dan Carlos?
In Waterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What really happened is that I don't want to put down nobody in it, but in those days, technology couldn't help you if you sing half key, if you sing flat, or if you have to definitely can do it. You know what I mean? So when I start the group and start to lead and start the lead singing, it's like the vocals, you know what I mean? It never is up to standard. Right, but I was the first lead singer for Black Hole. The first three songs I wrote them on.
Which three songs?
You know, Slow Quotes, Train to Zion, and what's the next song? Low Coach, Leaving to Zion. And yeah, the third song was called Folk Song, a song by Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah. So it was a cover of
Impression song. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like how Bob did, but you know, I mean, take one or two lines from. Yeah, I did that with that song. My brother didn't even know, so that was it until long after I met them know.
So yeah. you were the lead singer for Black Uhuru at the time?
Yeah, the first lead singer I put the group together.
Were you also a musician?
Well, I could help myself a little with the guitar. Because I say coming from Trenton, Wally and Joe Higgs and the Mr. Guys can jam. I used to take them in and show me one and two cards. So I could have helped myself a little on the guitar before Mercer purchased them. So I was the one who used to play the guitar. And,
you know, Sagathi, where would you say your strength is? In vocals or in playing music?
I'd say vocals, but I love to play music too. You know what I mean? I love to play music. As a child, living at Princess Street, right? Sometime on all a Sunday, when like say, I misbehave and I was roughed up by my parents or something, as soon as Prince Buster started playing, it's like the whole feeling just changed, the music just changed my feelings. So from a child, I know some music carry a special vibration. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the transition from Black Uhuru to Wailing Souls.
Well, it's kind of funny, you know, because I used to associate with the both set of Virgin Gem at the same time. And then what really happened is that by the time the Virgin Gem from Trenchtown, they never used to call themselves, they had the name Wailing Souls from a time, and Wailing Souls, but they never used to use it. They used to go by different names. Right, what is like, they come get me, right? Check me after for work out some tune with them, because you always do that, growing up work out tune for them. And I go work out the songs with them, and the next thing I know, them say, no man, come go studio. So I start record with them, right? And there's a program called Where It's At.
Mm-hmm.
And I start one and two appearance with them as souls. Right. By this time now, the Virgin Gem should still come around because my dad had his own place in White House and he wasn't there. There was in foreign, so I used to accommodate people and things. So by them time, Michael and Ducky them used to still come around. And you know what I mean? So when the Black World thing start jam again, you know what I mean? I used to still try to find a third person with him.
So hold on. So whilst you were performing with Wailing Souls,
yeah,
you were actually still with Black Uhuru?
Yeah, in the company of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, working out songs with them, because I said I was going to play the guitar, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I knew all those songs before, you know? And most of those songs was written by a elder by the name of Mr. Johnson, we call him Juki Shine. So I already knew those songs, you know? And the thing is that myself and Ducky is a bit older than Michael, right? So me and Ducky used to power a lot before Michael, but I already know Michael and his brother, and his brother was a good singer too,
mm-hmm,
right? Yeah. But I really put the group together, man, and I used to, during the Wailing Souls time, I still used to amongst them, trying to find a third person to fit in the thing, yeah.
So, did you start touring with Black Uhuru also in that first year?
Before the Grammy thing come in and everything, we used to go about in year and sing, but like touring as such, no.
No.
No, I wasn't there with Slide during the Slang Rabbit.
Just locally?
Yeah.
Okay. So, when you transitioned to Wailing Souls, would you say that that is where your career took off more?
Well, I'd say yes, because I end up doing about, you know, I can tell you about 13, 14 albums as Wailing Souls,
mm-hmm,
right? But during all them times, as I say, right, both Ducky and Dan and Michael was, whenever them have the time, it's like we associate same way. As I tell you, I used to jam with them trying to find a third person before they find Puma. And there's an expression by the name, it's such a deep history. There's an expression by the name of Errol G.S. He used to sing in a group named G.S. He did a whole album with Michael and Ducky for Jamito. And he was the one kind of more experienced within the music. So he was the one, you know what I mean? And then here comes Puma. And from there, with the great Sly and Robbie and the rest of great musicians, then they come on. Vibration. You know, so it was always together. As long as time goes by, it's like, you know what I mean? People change their attitude and thing. And, yeah, but to be honest, I'm the one who put that group together. It's plain to see. Plain to see. If you ask anybody who goes with us and knows us, you know, say, that's the truth, you know what I mean? You know, I'm from the one most wheelers and Driggs, and you know what I mean? I went up there with the music and the birds of them start gathering around. Just plain to see. If you ask the rest of the birds of them, what was the first song? Who wrote it? Where, you understand me? They can't talk without calling my name. You know what I mean? And sometimes I don't like talk, I make it look like. But it's reality. I'm the one who put Black World together.
Of course, you're watching E-Live Unplugged. We're chatting with Garth Dennis. You do not want to miss what he says on the other side. Thanks so much for tuning in and turning on to E-Live Unplugged. We're catching up with Garth Dennis. We've already learned how he first started in music and his time with Black Uhuru.
You would have now started recording with Wailing Souls. Tell me about that. Tell me about the songs that would have hit from Wailing Souls.
All right. This is what happened. The three guys went in and they did the song Things and Time for Channel One. Right? And I think Jojo, we call him Jojo, told him that they need a third or a fourth voice to fill up the sound. So that's how they, you know what I mean? Come check me, I said, Gatti. And we start off with doing back. There were some songs from Shooter One. Right, that was recorded by the guys them, and it's like they start re-recording back some of those songs, right? Like Fisherman Row, and you know what I mean? The same Things and Time, and you know what I mean? Yeah, and those songs just start, Sweet Sugar Plum Plum, all them songs just start, you know what I mean? Jump Off, and as I said, the Weird Chat program, you know? We start playing the Weird Chat program as well in Soul, so. That's really the PR start, just like what I'm doing now. And, you know, from there, it's a great Joe again, lined up a show in California with himself, the Wailers, without the great Bob, and herself. That's when Wailing Souls first started moving to the great Joe.
What was the response like at the time?
This is what reggae music is now, so you cannot imagine, you know what I mean? Man, it was wonderful, man, wonderful, because, you know, the music is something, when you really know what this music is, you know, it really takes it to another level, you understand me? So it start, people start listening to it now, what it's really saying. And then the beat, this roots music, you know, I'm not against the keyboard singing and thing, you know, but the roots music with the drum and the bass and the guitar and individual vibration. It's such a powerful vibration listening to that type of music away from just a keyboards, man. Just, you know what I mean? Playing this and playing that. Nothing wrong with that still, because you have to have changes. But the real gum and the reggae music, where we used to play and we used to carry the musicians with us, that used to captivate the people. People used to turn out. And those people, kids now, are the ones kind of supporting with the help of them parents. So the music was really, 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 you know what I mean? Progressive.
Would not have made a tremendous amount of money whilst you were a part of the Wailing Souls.
Well, I wouldn't say tremendous, but we used to make, you know what I mean, some money.
And the money you used to make was from touring or from record sales?
Both. Both. But is it mostly touring though? But both. Because the record used to sell those times.
Okay.
Record used to sell those times. So the royalties, record wise was.
And you would have also gotten a certain amount of publishing. You were writing songs.
You know what? That was what I wasn't up to date about publishing. It took me a good while to realize. You know what I mean? While the rest of the guys was experienced enough, because them on Uncle Joe for a good while and learned certain things about publishing. And I was like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You're no longer with Black Uhuru, neither are you with Wailing Souls.
Yeah, and we really get souls again. I regroup again with them, you know what I mean? And in that, you know what I mean? At no time I decided, let's sign something, let's use it. I could do that all the time. But that's what's on my mind. I don't know.
So you have never signed anything with Black Uhuru?
No, neither Wailing Souls are all these.
And
years.
Neither Wailing Souls.
Yeah. Them don't do it neither, baby. Them just start doing anything because we don't grow up and really do that. And it was looking like it's just me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly I wasn't looking at it that way. And that's why I was really happy with that. I don't know if you guys hear about the suing and things. I don't sue nobody. Every time is the next person doing the suing. Every time. I never really happened with that. I wanted the right to the name in Jamaica. Myself and Dan, and it's like I've never went to the press yet and said, well, you know, I want the name, the court name, long before the one in California. Our original result come out long in Jamaica before the one in California, but just then went to the press or the radio station. And
so you want it in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
You own the name in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
You own the name in California?
No,
mm-hmm.
No, because in America, that was good. That went the other way.
Who owns the name in California?
I think it's the other side of people. I don't want to call it nobody's name. You know what
okay.
I mean? But when that decision was made, I wasn't even in court.
So right now people describe it that there is two different Black Uhurus. Is that the case?
Right now? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But what really happened is that the reason why this brethren, right, and then I put on the body. The reason why Ducky, who I don't want to say is the less talented of all the singers, them and thing, right, everybody have their own vibration, is that he's the one who used to be amongst me all these years before the rest of birth of them. So he was really there when the name was given to me, right? Michael wasn't there, Junior wasn't there, Angie B, Zeus, whatever, they wasn't there. So he can say to them, say, no, can say nothing to me unless it's Gatti or Dan. Because we were the ones who really, that's why I say as great as Junior is and as great as Michael is. It's like, Ducky feel like, say, him have a more. Because during the first time at my house when it was starting, he was very new. I put guitar in him and show him cards and things. That's the truth.
If you had to do this musical journey over again, Garth, mm-hmm. What would you do differently, if anything?
Business-wise, maybe the approach is different, but I still make nice, good music with Bridget and Bridget, who love to collaborate, because when you do something, you know, you do it good and it nice, you know. If two more people join it, and they might do the same thing, good and nice, it get more. You understand me? So that's what I love about unity and sports and group and, you know what I mean? I always love my solo thing and thing, but groups with harmonies and thing. You know, growing up here in the Wheelers and, you know what I mean? The techniques and, you know what I mean? Don't talk about the Drifters and the Temptations. And so, you know, solo business is nice, but when 2, 3, 4 person sing, when I hear that, just like a band, one musician can come and blow or play guitar, but a team of people, musicians get together, it's a whole different vibration. So that's it.
What are your thoughts about where reggae music is right now?
Where it is that it's reaching more people every day and every time, right? But the message of the music needs to be more, you know what I mean? Which is love and equality and justice, and I guess that's why it haven't reached much farther, because there's certain vibes in the world who's not up to them type of things where reggae is about, you know? So the thing that reggae is about is like You know what I mean? You enjoy yourself and have fun and things, but away from that, it teaches you how to be a good person, how to be conscious of the next person. You know what I mean? Yeah, and a lot of people is not up to that. You know? I like to see more groups coming back out of Jamaica and duets, and you don't see the three youth again and put a group, three youth together, and every youth is just a one youth to the mic and him stick and him. Not wrong with that still, you know. But one box, you back some more groups, man, and three, four youth come together, and you know what I mean? As I say, when one wanna do a thing, you know, it's nice and it's good and thing. But if three, four man join them and they do the same thing, it's more energy, it's more love, more vibration, it's more, you know what I mean? Take the thing to a higher level. So that's what I like to see. Come to music, whether it's the roots music or the dance hall, what them call the dance hall or whatever. But a more unity with people, groups. You know? And then when you learn justice of and deal with things between the one and the honestly and thing. But groups is such a nice thing, man. Groups and unity, and we don't want people doing a thing. You alone enjoy something get nice and things still, you know. But you see what I'm saying? You have somebody to enjoy that with. You know, like how selfish it is. It is a most nicer vibration. So that's what I like. So more unity, more to you, the more deal with the music or the art, you know, whatever kind of art form them in. You know? Do your thing, but if you can regroup with people and do things, take it to another level. I mean, don't be afraid of trying that. Don't be afraid of trying that. So that's what I say. And the thing is, love is the key. Love is the key, man. Conquer all things. I'm not talking about no fake love. When you really know yourself, you really know what real love is. You know what I mean? When you really know yourself and where love really is, it's like nothing really impossible. And nobody can do you nothing or take nothing from you to make you feel like you're less than or you're more than. And when you really know yourself, you know? Life goes on and on and on. And not like love or unity and justice. That's what reggae music really is about. And as I say again, there's certain vibration in the world where, not too much of that. So this music is such a powerful vibration. It's not just music alone, it carries an essence with it. Where a lot of people is like, no care honest name is them don't like the essence of it because it's like, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's not something for put on people or make people feel less than or more than, it's just a oneness. Showing everybody upon a level where, you know what I mean? It can be done. You can do it. Use somebody too.
Wise words from musician Garth Dennis, putting a wrap on this week's episode of E-Live Unplugged. There's a brand new Unplugged every Friday at 9 and a repeat on Saturdays at 7. I'm your host, Judith Bartley, inviting you to catch me next E-Live Unplugged. I'll be speaking with Christopher Palmer, Mr.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, coughed into your elbow.
You know the tune. If you're celebrating with your loved ones this holiday season, make sure to keep following the sanitary measures. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
One of the most famous and influential reggae instrumentals ever is the Slengtang rhythm. Originally released in 1985 on King Jammy's label, it's been revoiced over 450 times. More than any other rhythm, and it sparked the beginning of the digital era in reggae music, and in doing so paved the way for dancehall. The first vocalist on the rhythm was Wayne Smith. It was Smith's friend Noel Davey that had made the rhythm using a Casio keyboard. The keyboard was given to him by one of the members of the group, the Wailing Souls.
You have a group called the Wailing Souls. You have a member, Garty, he went, went overseas, and a bird named Bunny sent the Casio from because he came to Jamaica and saw me. The old time when I used to be down Waterhouse playing music, with you know, melodica, the little one you blow, that's what I had. And him say, you know, you're a talented youth, and I'm going to get our organ at home, and I'm going to send it for you. And so he did. He went to California, and he sent the little Casio. And this was like a big break for me, because the Casio is a machine that you can use with current and battery, whereas the other one, I had to blow it. So, you know, it was easier for me now. So that's how, when I got that Casio, other things started to happen. And right away, I started to make different sounds, and you know, it was a difference to play something without you having to blow it. You just press it and it plays, you know. There was when Wayne touched something, and Wayne had something to do with it. Him touched something and he jumped out, and I said, "Hear that?" You know, and we both say, "Hear that?" But when days gone by and we lost it, and I went back and find it, because Wayne couldn't find him, he didn't know how to reproduce that sound again. But I take the machine and go through his mind, and I never stop until I found it back. Like another week later, we found it back. And I told him that I found it back, and then I realized I can't stop it and start it. I realized how it really worked. So then that's when him decided to let us take it to Jammies. And I followed him and take it to Jammies. That's how it went.
I was in London at the time, and you know, they told me that they had this rhythm. My wife called me and said, "Boy, I didn't have a bad rhythm here, but they lost it." So I flew in like a couple of days later, and we found back the beat, and then we add the rest of the music to it. And it was too fast, so I used the tempo to slow it down, ease it down a little, and then the dub and overdub what's there. I personally played the percussion and the syndrome. And the clap, pop, pop, and we went straight in the studio and just laid down the rhythm. When I recorded on the Mesleng thing, that was the first track that was recorded. I sent it out on the sound system. It was tore apart with that rhythm. And I said, you know what? We have to start mixing some of the tracks on it now and put it on the street. Because the sound system was like my radio station. That's what I used to use to promote my records. Before, you know, anybody even hear, I sent it to the dance, and then it shows me how the people react to it. So I knew that this song, or these songs, needed to go out there, release, and, you know. We had a dance the following week with Black Scorpio. When I drew that rhythm in the dance that night, he had to lock off his sound, because nobody wanted to hear any other rhythm. You know, and I have loads of artists on that rhythm.
One of the other artists Jammy recorded on the rhythm was Tenasaur.
That song was done as a special on the Friday. The Friday, Sugar Miner took Tenasaur to the studio. They were going to country to play for a sound. So they were doing it as a special. So when I did it now, I said, you know what? This tune here, wicked, and I should catch it on a cassette. So I put in the cassette and recorded the special, you know? So when I recorded that special, I called Tenasa afterward and says, "Tenasa, you can come back tomorrow and do the song for me. I love the song, you know." You know? He said, "Yeah, but we need some money, you know." So I gave him $8,000, you know? Yeah, so he went to country, and he came back the Saturday, was to do the recording, but he couldn't sing it like how he sang it on the day before. So I played back the cassette for him and said, you know what happened? I will use the cut. And I just put it back to 8-track and EQ it up. And then, you know, that was the release, the cassette.
Countless other iconic reggae artists have also voiced the rhythm. Yellow Man, Supercat, Ninja Man, just to name a few. Although there'd been a few other digital-based rhythms before Sleng Teng, none had the impact of this track in its versions. It was a fresh new sound that for some was a welcome break from the traditional reggae rhythms that were starting to feel overused. It also established a trend for much simpler chord progressions and grooves that suited the toasting style of vocals that was gaining popularity. It was also much cheaper to produce recordings this way than using a full band. Sleng Teng was the rhythm that changed everything. And it all started with an accidental discovery. The sound that Noel Davies stumbled across that day was the Rock preset, one of the preset drum beat and bassline patterns pre-programmed into the machine. The preset was composed by a Casio employee, Hiroko Okuda, who had just graduated Tokyo College of Music in 1980 and began working at Casio. For the previous 30 years, the company had only made calculators, cash registers and wristwatches, But they'd recently launched their first musical instrument, the Casio Tone 201. One of Okuda's tasks was to create presets for the keyboards, including the Casio Tone MT40. She has never publicly revealed what song she based it on. Many have speculated that it was guitar-playing rock and roll icon Eddie Cochran that inspired the riff, specifically his song Something Else. Okuda was interviewed sometime in the 1990s and was puzzled by this rumour, as she'd never heard of the Eddie Cochran song and stated that she'd been inspired by something else. She did give another clue. It was a 70s British rock star, and if you heard the song, it would be instantly recognisable, she said. Interestingly, many of the reviews of Hang On To Yourself note that Mick Ronson's guitar playing is reminiscent of Cochran. One reviewer described it as space-aged Eddie Cochran. So although Okuda may not have known the Cochran tune, Bowie certainly did. So in emulating his song, she has also captured something of the spirit of Eddie Cochran. Hiroko Okuda said she had listened to reggae a lot growing up, so was happy that her work had played a part in the genre. But what would David Bowie think of being part of the evolution of reggae?
When I was growing up, I lived in Brixton, and what we heard a lot of there was ska, which was sort of, I suppose, the progenitor of reggae. It was ska first, and then it became bluebeat, and then it ended up as reggae. So I have a certain affinity to it, with it, rather. I like it, yes, it hasn't influenced much of what I've done, I must admit.
My brain, no cocaine. they say it's a big white desert, and there's a lot in it to find. Don't let the sandstorm blow your mind, or the crystal light that crawling by night. Although the way be long and rough, Jaja children, you know we just don't do enough. Just shout and give it.
you feel the strain, yeah, then you know the need to end.
I'm Martin Carly, and I like to popularize science. Vaccination against COVID-19 for children aged 5 to 11 has begun. As parents, you may be asking if the vaccine is safe and effective. The answer is yes. The vaccine is approved by Health Canada and has been the subject of numerous studies involving thousands of people, including children. Experts also closely monitor any adverse effects that may occur after vaccination.
For more information, visit quebec.ca/youthvaccine. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
The sun, the moon, the stars, the skies were made for mankind, the handyman.
the swans live good and give thanks. What about you, man? Don't you believe life could be a symphony if we live in harmony? Finding with true love, blessings from above, above. The time is now to know yourself. It's been a long time. You're living in the dark.
Some peace. Christmas breeze. You know the Christmas sweet. Then you know the Christmas here. And then
Thanks for tuning in. May you and your family have a great day and a great week. Jah guide, one love.
An incredible transcendent live performance. She just said, is it true? Is it true? Tell me now. It's a promise I can make. And I won't. Tame Impala. Class Bell. March 10th. I don't know. I don't care. Get tickets now at evinco.ca.
Montreal. You are tuned to the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have a tight show for you today with two pre-recorded interviews from music and one interview from business news. The first interview is from the business news spot. Bizabo is acquiring Click for its wearable technology and its use in event planning. More on that coming up. The second interview is with Ben Lupus. Ben Lupus will be releasing the EP VDC later this year. So we're pleased to announce that Ben will be celebrating by partying his singles La Tempête and Barbara. The third interview is with Jake Harding of the band Birchcliff from Toronto. Birchcliff is releasing their new album, The City and the Mountain. Stick around for that later in the hour. 8 o'clock brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings Weather, and after some music, we'll visit the podcast called In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, where this week's question is, Why is the sky blue? After some more music, we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.